comedy by Christopher Durang, Augustus Does His Bit, a comedy by George Bernard Shaw, and Mountain Language, a drama by Harold Pinter. These student and faculty-directed performances will take place weekends in the Adre Auditorium of the HFCC Mackenzie Fine Arts Building on HFCC's main campus, 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays, the weekends of June 17th through the 19th and June 24th through the 26th. Seating is limited. For tickets or more information, contact HFCC Technical Director Jerry Jablinski at 313-845-9892. That's 313-845-9892.
Ah, the many colors of the blues. And you can hear them on WHFR's latest blues compilation, Uncut Detroit 3, Live Studio Blues, featuring local artists Bugs Beddo, Thornetta Davis, Eileen Orr, Kenny Parker, Robert Penn, Harmonica Shaw, and Joe Weaver. This CD has received great reviews, and we know that you will love it too. Support independent radio and order your copy of Uncut Detroit 3 Live Studio Blues for only $12. Go to our website at whfr.fm or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
The Global Village Party is a celebration of life, music overcoming boundaries and uniting cultures. So come on, join the party. That's the Global Village Party, every Thursday from 2 to 4 on WHFR, the station making waves.
And opinions expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of this radio station or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this is WHFR Dearborn. Today, my special guest is Lori, the pet psychic, and she is a well-known pet psychic, and she also deals with human beings as well. So I just want to say, good afternoon, Lori. Welcome to the show, and thank you for doing it.
Good afternoon, Mr. Holloway, and thank you for having me back.
Well, you're welcome. I know that you were gracious enough to do the show once again, so I really do appreciate that. We're going to basically start at the beginning again to refresh everybody's memory on just what it is you do. Now, you've been a pet psychic for how many years now?
About 18 years now.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a long time. How did you start? I mean, what gave you the inclination to say, wow, I'm good at this, I can do it, and I can make some money at it? Perhaps that didn't really come right away, but Right. Maybe when you realized that, wow, this is something I can be very good at, you decided to pursue that. How did that come about?
I'm a third-generation psychic medium. So I just started, actually I started doing readings for free for, you know, like friends, and it just expanded from there, and then all of a sudden the messages from their pets started coming in, and so then I went in, you know, to doing the pet psychic work.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of I wasn't, say, a surprise. Now, you say you're a third generation psychic.
Right.
Did the other people that... in your family, were they pet psychics also, or were they just psychics that worked with human beings?
Just with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly with tarot cards.
Okay.
It was my great-great-great-aunt.
So. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. Was she the one that got you interested in metaphysical type things?
You know, she passed away before I ever got to meet her.
Hmm.
So, Just I've always been in the, you know, into the metaphysical. Seems like all my life, so just grew from there.
Mm-hmm. Now you say you're third generation. What was the other generation? I mean, was it your mother or who else was the psychic?
Well, it skipped.
Oh, it skipped.
Skipped
okay.
A generation to me.
Okay. All right. But now, how did you discover that you had something that was special with pets or with animals?
When I was doing readings for people, and then messages of their own pets started to come in for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started giving them the messages. And then when you get the feedback, you know, this was right. And I just, you know, I knew this was what I was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was right. My journey. And at first, honestly, I thought I was going crazy when I started hearing pets, you know, animals, readings from animals.
Mm-hmm. Did you think you were losing your mind?
I did for a minute there until you start getting feedback, you know, of the readings you were giving, you know, and it was very helpful to them and their animals. So I knew it was a you know, and really an extra special bonus gift
mm-hmm.
besides being, you know, reading for people.
Right. Now, were these animals that were deceased that you were receiving messages from, rather, or was it from animals that were still living that were nearby their owners?
It was both.
Okay.
They were deceased and living.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide that, well, this is really something I want to pursue?
It just got too strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it, to ignore, to shut off.
Right.
It was, you know, it was so overpowering for me, knowing, you know, they had so much to say, the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the messages they were giving.
Right. And how do you get these messages? Do you actually receive some type of thought from the animals themselves?
It's they're all different how they want to communicate. It could be, you know, visually, or I hear it, you know, or however, what sense, you know, every sense of my body they're going to use to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're not all the same.
Right. So you're just a channel for whatever message they want to convey, however they want to convey it?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the ways they make their message clear? I mean,
just
is
like
it...
like I said, either visually or I hear it or I see it.
Mm-hmm. Do you actually have to touch the animal at all? I mean, if they're still alive, does that help at all or not necessarily?
No, because I do a lot of phone readings now. So I would do, if I do a phone reading, my clients will email me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a visual of who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you hear from people all over the United States?
And beyond.
Mm-hmm. So Europe and other countries?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very, very nice, isn't it? I mean, that's a chance to get your message out.
Exactly. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my motto, you know, giving animals a voice. And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is that your mission in life?
It is. And for people, too. I still read people.
Mm-hmm. But you primarily work with animals or not necessarily?
I still work with both. More, yes, more animals. But I still do both.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, though, you're better known for being a pet psychic as opposed to a human psychic?
Well, probably now because with all the publicity, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that a large boost probably came from the fact that you were on the Oprah Winfrey Show, which is very nice to be a part of, I'm sure. That was quite an experience, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nice. And it was just, I was so happy to be helpful and be of service.
Mm-hmm.
Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm.
Who was lost.
Right. So how did that come about? I mean, can you relate that story? And this is what Oprah, you know, found out about, and things led to the fact that you're actually on a show. But go ahead, and if you could tell that story, please.
Sure. It was back in April 2009, and there was another radio station I did some work with called me and told me there was a lost chihuahua named Tinkerbell if I would do a reading on the air, which I did. And I, in the process of the reading, I asked them to check a certain location. And they said they already, you know, searched that area, and I asked them to search again in a specific location. So when you know, we got out, when we got done with the reading, they went and checked that location, and then they found her. It was shortly after. I think the best part of that story was so many people, after the reading, I think there was a lot of doctor's offices and dentists right there in that area, and they all came out and helped look for Tinkerbell. Because she was missing like 3 days before they even called me.
Mm-hmm.
So when she wasn't hurt, she was fine.
Right. And obviously their owners really cared for their dog. Obviously they wouldn't go to the trouble of getting groups of people to go around helping them find the dog, correct?
Exactly. And you know, they didn't even go around. People were just volunteering. And like I said, that to me is the best part, you know, that so many people were helping, you know, look for her too.
Right. Well, it's odd that she was actually picked up by a very strong wind and carried away. And
yes,
I think it's great that you were able to help them out because, like you said, you were able to really help them locate the dog. And it was not in a place where they had been looking for the dog previously.
No, they were.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They did look in that area.
Okay, but it was like up on a hill, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not that specific. Yes. They were close to where she was, but they didn't, you know. What the reading kind of pinpointed it.
Right. Now,
because she flew across Telegraph Road,
mm-hmm,
which is a major, you know.
Right. A major road, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, when you heard about this, did you receive some kind of vision? Is that how you knew where she was?
I just kept seeing where she was. So
mm-hmm,
for her, the message came through visually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so... Now, normally when people contact you, you say you do phone readings and you can pick up, I don't know, a certain vibration from the animal. Perhaps it might be in California or wherever. That doesn't really make any difference, the fact that you're not there in the same room with the animal.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know. And just me having the picture, you know, like they'll email me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily a lost animal. I do, you know, rescues, and I do animals that have crossed over for, you know, which is helpful for closure.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just want to know if their pet is happy.
Right.
You know, if they need anything or if they're, you know, unhealthy or it's a behavior issue. And I'm not a vet by any means, but at least we can steer them in the right direction, something to ask their vet
mm-hmm
to check on.
Mm-hmm. So you do receive messages that if they have a certain pain, you might be able to pick up on that somehow?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you've helped pet owners that way? I mean, have they taken their pets to the vet and said, you know, something's wrong with my cat or dog or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and then it turns out that once they start looking for something specifically, they find it?
Yes, usually yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that's a relief to the pet owner.
Yes. And even in the circumstance when, you know, your pet is older or, you know, is sick and close to passing on, you know, they want to know if they're in pain, you know, if they're ready to go, you know, kind of like saying your last goodbye, really. And that is so beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm sure that's beneficial for the owner, of course. So
right,
it really does help, like you say, with closure when they hear that, I don't know, Fluffy or Fido or whoever is doing well
right
on the other side?
Yes, that too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, so many of us have had to put our animals down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the main question would be, did I do it at the right time?
Right.
You know, and, you know, they get their answer and then it gives them some closure that way too.
Mm-hmm. Do most of the animals understand why they were put to sleep, so to speak?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if we do a reading before, you know, we put them to sleep, they'll tell them if they're ready to go, if they're not ready to go,
mm-hmm,
you know, if they're in pain,
right,
not in pain. Or.
So these pets don't hold any grudges like, well, you put me down too soon or something like that?
You know, I never had that. I've never had one say that
mm-hmm
to me.
So they're very understanding.
They are, or sometimes they say, you know, you could even have done it sooner, you know, and the owner would usually say, I was thinking about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need to, the clients need to listen to their own gut, too, because we all have this ability, like I do, you know.
Right.
I just had more practice.
Right. Right. I think people don't listen to that little voice in the back of their head sometimes, where that's their own intuition that might be prompting them to do something.
Exactly. Exactly. Or even, you know, with the, when somebody adopts a rescue, and the rescue normally comes with some baggage. So, you know, they're trying to make adjustments and how everybody can get along, and, you know, we have a conversation, and so the new owners can understand, you know, what that pet has gone through and can help them.
And that makes quite a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Well, that's something I didn't think about, but that is like a different family. I mean, you're integrating different personalities, and I'm sure every pet has their own personality, so it's like blending different families, correct?
Exactly. Or if they were abused, you know, and they were, you know, removed from that household they were in, and, you know, so they're going to have issues with trust, and, you know, at least if they know, you know, what the abuse was, if that was, is a case, you know, they know how to deal with it better and how, you know, to make that bond and that get the trust.
And very briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Lori the Pet Psychic. Getting back to what you were talking about, now, when you're working with people that have, I don't know, maybe adopted pets that have been abused, is it a process, a long process, where the animal will trust a human being again? Does that happen? Or do they pretty much, you know, accept where they're at, and if the human being is treating them well, they don't have a long time period where they have to adjust?
It just, and it depends on the animal and the situation they were in. Sometimes it's quick, and sometimes it takes a little time, and they'll say, you know, this is going to take me a while, you know, bear with me and help me, basically.
Right. It just depends on the level of trauma.
Exactly. Yes. That's perfect.
Now, have you worked with, I guess, you know, dogs that have fought and things like that, you know, that kind of really violent behavior where they've been abused and mistreated?
Yes. And it's very sad. And so I'm an empath, so I also feel what the animals feel or has been through as well, you know, as they're talking. So it's you know, very emotional. But it's also healing for them.
Right. Do you sometimes get emotional yourself? Maybe you're sensing the emotion and you get teary-eyed or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much on a daily basis. You know, even if it's a happy situation, because, you know, I can feel what, you know, the people and the animal are feeling. So, it's not always a sad thing. It could be a good thing.
Right.
Emotions, too.
Right. So you sense when they're really ecstatic and really happy with where they're at in life.
Exactly. Or just going back to the health thing, you know, they'll let me feel where their pain is, or if they have a, you know, upset stomach, or, you know, my stomach will be upset, so.
Oh, does that happen where whatever is hurting on an animal, it corresponds to your body, if it might be a foot or anything like that? I mean, maybe it's one of their paws?
Right. About 90% of the time, that's how they'll show me.
So you'll feel it somewhere on your body.
Right. Right. If it's physical or if it's an emotional, you know, they'll let me feel the emotion of it so I can better describe to, you know, to the client.
Right, right. Now, do you work with clients over, what, a two-month period? I mean, is there any set time, or do you perhaps work with people indefinitely? They just want to tune in to what their pet is trying to convey, and they're in constant communication with you?
I mean, I do have people that are clients that, you know, I do talk to all the time, but I don't set, like, say, you know, I think you need to do this every week or every month. You know, it's just really up to them and how they're dealing with everything. You know, I don't put a parameter on it like that.
Right. So you don't suggest any time frame whatsoever?
No, I don't. And, and you know, they know how to reach me if they need another consult.
Right. So if there should be a new, I don't know, a new problem with their pet, they know they can contact you at any time.
Correct.
Now, what are some of the animals you work with? I mean, of course, you work with the, you know, dogs and cats, but I mean, what are some of the other animals you work with?
Oh, pretty much anything. Horses. I've done reptiles and snakes and fish and. I mean, I'd like to expand it eventually. I'm going to. I know, you know, get it more into the, you know, more wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
As well, birds.
Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, let's just take a snake. How would you, you know, discern what a snake is trying to tell you? Because I just think that, well, okay, they must not have a real high intelligence, but obviously they convey a message to you.
Right, right. I don't have a recall on what the message was, but I mean, I know we communicated, and it was, I do remember, you know, about food and the environment that they, you know, that they had them in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they ended up switching to a different container that the snake was living in.
Mm-hmm. And that helped the snake?
It did. Mm-hmm. And the owner.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Helped them bond better.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously the snake was happier in a new environment, correct?
Right, right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it wasn't a major thing that needed to be switched, but they wouldn't have known, you know,
right,
unless we talked to them.
Right. So you've done fish, birds, mm-hmm. things like that?
Exactly.
Hmm. What's the most interesting animal you would say that you've worked with as far as species or type or whatever?
That's hard. Because they're all so good. You know, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, obviously, I do more, you know, cats and dogs and horses, and I've done a monkey. That was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do people bring you out to their farms or anything like that to work with their animals, like pigs and all that kind of thing?
I have. Or it's fun when we do, they call them barn parties. And it's usually a barn where people are boarding, and they'll make a party out of it. I'll do the readings, but they all have like a big potluck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they get to visit with people they haven't seen, and you know, I get to go to readings and help them.
Mm-hmm. Now, when that happens, do people come and they bring their pets as well?
Well, like at a barn, they're already there, so mm-hmm. I'm going to them.
Right. But what I'm saying is, I mean, you're talking about people coming to this party, people that are outside of the family, the immediate family, maybe they have pets. Would they bring those pets along as well, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, but they can. Or like different events I will do that, you know, people will bring animals to. Or I don't have to actually have the animal. They can bring a picture of their animal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's a dog who isn't very social, or a cat. You know, they'll bring me a picture to the event, and I can, you know, we'll do a reading that way.
Right.
And so everybody's safe. You know, and their dog is still comfortable, you know, at home.
Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe the dog doesn't like to travel or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Or it doesn't do well around other animals or people.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked with circuses, anything like that? Zoos?
I haven't yet, but I would love to.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't been out to the Detroit Zoo or anything like that?
You know, on my own, you mm-hmm. know, talk, you know, and listening, but no, but I would love to.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you go to the zoo, do you go out there just to practice, or can you just, I don't know, shut it off and just enjoy the beauty of the animals, or do you try to communicate with them as well?
I communicate with them when I go and hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. And that can be very interesting, I would think.
It is. It is, you know. I haven't had the opportunity, you know, to go recently, but I would love to go back and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting, you know, what they have to say out there and what they would like. And
right. Well, I know they have the like the butterfly house. Would you go in there and you could sense what the butterflies are feeling and what they're experiencing?
I'm sure I could.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't done that.
I haven't done it. No, but I'm sure I could.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked with insects as well?
I have.
Mm-hmm. How does that work, and what kind of insects?
Somebody had an ant farm one time, and they wanted, you know, they wanted to communicate and make sure they were, I think it was for like a school project, so they wanted to make sure they were really, you know, conscious, making sure, you know, what they wanted, that they were doing it right.
Right, that they weren't making the ants suffer or anything like that.
Exactly, exactly.
That's interesting. And what grade was this? What grade level? What grade level was doing this project that they had you come in for the ant farm?
It was an independent person that called me.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, I can't, it was so long ago, I don't remember. Probably grade school, I was thinking.
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, young kids would, you know, worry about something like that to make sure that, you know, the ants aren't being mistreated in any way.
And they were, the whole family was into animals anyway. So they loved their animals, so they were already self-conscious, you know, and didn't want to hurt them in any way. Mm-hmm. So it was like a, almost like a family, you know, connection there.
Right. So I would say, by and large, then animals don't frighten you no matter what they might be?
I mean, probably their size would, but then once we started communicating, it wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Initially, maybe, you know.
Right.
Like if it was an elephant or something, you know, you'd be in, I guess, in awe of their size.
Right. Well, you know, for instance, you wouldn't necessarily get into a cage with a tiger, would you? I mean, to communicate with a tiger?
No, I'm sure I would do it outside the cage.
Yeah, outside, yeah.
Unless,
right.
you know, it was supervised, because it's still a wild animal.
Right.
You know, and you want them comfortable, too, to
right.
communicate.
Right. Well, I think that's just it. I mean, they are wild animals, you know, and no matter how much you think they're tamed and they wouldn't,
right.
you know, hurt you or hurt anybody else, sometimes they just have that urge to, I guess, go back to the wild, so to speak, and do what comes naturally.
Exactly. You
know. So there's nothing that you could, I don't know, convey to the animal to, you know, stop charging you or anything like that?
I'm sure I could, but it probably would be a point where they were already in that situation, you know. You know, like when somebody gets very angry and they're not even hearing you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I think they would already be, I don't know if they would hear me.
Mm-hmm.
If they were already in, you know, if they were already in attack mode.
Right. So that's a good point. Just like human beings, you know, reach
exactly.
a point where, you know, they're not paying attention and they're so angry they're going to carry through with whatever it is they want to do.
Right. You know, and like if it was in a zoo situation, and they're, I'm sure, very protective of their animals, too. They're just not going to let anybody, you know, go in there. You know, and maybe, you know, I could get enough that I could be outside the cage at first.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like introduction.
Right, right.
So they can sense me and my, you know, vibration.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had just a regular job working with animals at a pet store or anything like that?
I have not.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about opening your own pet store or anything like that?
No, I haven't, because, you know, I'm just busy what I'm doing helping this way, and I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, so.
Mm-hmm. So do sometimes you get messages from animals through dreams? Would that ever happen?
It has.
Mm-hmm.
It has, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any pets yourself?
I do. I have 2 dogs and 3 cats.
Okay, so that's a good-sized group of animals, I would say.
I do.
Do they challenge you?
You know, and it's like reading a person that's too close to me, and,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like reading, you know, because they're too close. My animals are so close. You kind of already know the answer, whether you want to hear it or not.
Right.
You know, so yes, they do challenge me. Like, mm-hmm. I know you can hear me, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, right. It's like the child that doesn't want to listen to the parent, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, or if they're, especially, it's helpful when they're sick, because I know, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you do perform Reiki on some animals as well, right?
I do, and I incorporate it in all my readings.
Mm-hmm. And does that take the place sometimes of actually going to the vet?
I wouldn't say that, because I would definitely want them to still go to the vet, you know, but energy work is definitely helpful.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you're working with pets in relation to doing a Reiki treatment?
Say that again?
Well, when you're working with an animal and you're doing a Reiki treatment, I mean, what do you do? Do you just send out, you know, good positive thoughts, or do you like to be with the animal in the same space, or how does that work?
If, you know, if I'm actually doing a hands-on reading, then I'm doing it as I'm reading. Or if I'm doing it distant, I'm going to send it distantly, the Reiki, as I'm doing the reading.
Right. So you can do that over the phone as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does that entail, just sending out positive vibrations?
Pretty much, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just asking for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like in a lost animal situation, I'd be sending it to their owners because they're going through, you know, those are the hardest, the lost pets, and you know how much they're hurting looking for their animal.
Right. Right. Well, it does become right. It's like a member of the family that's being lost.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That does play a major part in a person's life.
Yes. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, I just want to remind everybody once again that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Lori, the pet psychic. And she's a well-known pet psychic, and she also works with humans as well. Now, how often do you work with humans?
I schedule both, so, you know, every week.
Mm-hmm.
I do both.
Mm-hmm. But primarily, you would say most of your work is with pets or animals?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point in time where you think you might start working more with humans?
I'd probably keep it how it is. I mean, you know, whatever I'm needed to do, you know, whether it be human or animal, whatever, however I can be of service, is where I'll be.
Mm-hmm. So you look upon this as providing a service to help pets as well as people?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very rewarding, isn't it?
It is very rewarding. I have the best job. I get to play with animals all day.
Yeah, well, you know, that's great, yeah. Well, that's true because, you know, there's not too many people that can say they actually love their job, you know. I mean, most people go to work and they muddle through, but I think it's really great when somebody finds a job that can honestly say, I love this job and I love helping people and animals.
Exactly. And people and you know, because the animal, you know, the owner and the pet are, you know, you're reading really both of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, do you get, I don't know, mixed messages? I mean, is it hard to tell sometimes what feelings are coming from the individual, the person, as opposed to what the pet is sending out?
The only time I might have that situation is like if we're in the same room and there's more than one animal, and I'll say to the owner, you know, I'm getting this feeling, but I don't know exactly which one it's coming from, and I'll tell them right out, you know, and then usually they'll say it's usually this one, you know, who feels like that, or that's their personality. So then I can get, you know, once we distinguish who is who,
mm-hmm.
who's talking.
Right.
And it's easier.
Right. Does that happen quite often? I mean, when you're working with multiple animals and human beings?
No. But when it does, I do, you know, I tell them. So I'm honest with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say, you know, I'm getting, because it's like they're both talking at the same time, basically.
Right. So you don't want to promise them too much?
Well, no, I mean, I would just say, you know, I would describe which personality, so I knew who was, you know, so then I can distinguish who is, you know, what voice is going to which.
Mm-hmm. And that would make a difference, obviously, in what you were picking up as far as vibrations go?
Well, no, it would still be the same vibration, but at least I could say who is saying what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if Fluffy is saying one thing and, you know, Tigger is saying another thing, so I can.
Right. Does it ever cross over where, you know, maybe the owner's personality gets mixed in with everything else that's going on with the pet?
I haven't had that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I don't, you know.
Right. Right. Well, I'm sure once again you could just determine eventually what was coming from whoever, right?
Right, or I would say something. You know, I'm getting mixed, you know, there's too many voices here, so I'd have to just, you know, we just kind of sort it out. Then we, you know, go on with the reading.
Mm-hmm. Just move on.
Right.
Now, do you help people pick out their pets? Maybe they come to you for advice on a certain type of dog, what they should pick out as far as a dog, or do you actually go with them to the animal shelter, perhaps, and help them pick out a dog that is good for them?
Or it's been an event that I'm doing that they have adoption pets there, and I can do that, you know, and help them, yes.
Right. So sometimes maybe cities put those types of events on?
Mm-hmm.
And they call you specifically to help people pick out the right pet?
Or if I'm doing, usually if I'm doing that event. But I've had clients call me and saying I'm thinking about getting a new pet, and then they'll, you know, either send me a picture of the one they're looking at, and then we do a reading. And if it's like, you know, this isn't the right one for you right now, you know, he has another home he needs to go to.
Mm-hmm. But there again, whoever they do end up with, it's kind of like fate in the fact that whoever they do end up with, that's who or what they're supposed to work with, and everybody has lessons to learn, and I would imagine that includes pets as well, right?
But our pets pick us.
Oh, really? We don't pick pets? They pick us?
They pick us.
Okay. But don't they have lessons to learn themselves during their lifetimes?
I think, just from my experience, that they're helping us learn lessons. Mm-hmm. I think they've already learned. I mean, they don't, you know, they're helping us grow.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to get too personal here, but do you believe in reincarnation?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Now, do you think?
I've had many, especially with the pets that I've crossed over, they'll say, do you want me to come back?
Mm-hmm. And do the owners say yes?
Generally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Right. Now, if it's a dog speaking, will it come back as a dog, or will it, I don't know, perhaps come back as a cat? It's hard to tell, or how does that happen?
And that usually is another question that they'll ask. You know, do you want me to be the same? Do you want me to be, you know, a different animal?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, their time frame is different than our time frame. So not like they can give us a specific time when.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Right. Right. But they have that ability to come back to the same owners somehow,
mm-hmm.
some way.
Right.
Would it be possible for perhaps a dog in one lifetime to come back even as a fish or anything like that?
I have read those, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it possible for animal spirits to come back as humans at all? Do you agree with that or no?
I've had that. Not to sound crazy, but I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm. You mean
not that often.
Right. And vice versa, do human spirits become animals? Have you had that experience?
I haven't had that.
Okay. Interesting. But animal spirits have come back as human beings.
Right. And not to say that, you know, animals or humans can't go to animals. You know, I'm not, just that I haven't experienced yet.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work? I mean, how does that spirit adapt to human life?
I don't know how that works.
Oh.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, though. You say you have had cases where that's mm-hmm. happened, though, right?
Right. They didn't go into detail how, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was this, you were working with a human being and they were conveying this message, or was it a pet that was, or an animal that had passed away that indicated they had been a human at one time?
It was an animal that passed away that was a human before. Different lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that does happen, and maybe not a lot, but that does happen then, right?
Very rarely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's interesting. I wasn't really aware that, you know, you had experienced anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that was necessarily, you know, possible. I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, in my next life, I'd like to come back as a dolphin or something like that, but to the best of your knowledge, that's never really happened, right?
Doesn't mean it hasn't, though. It just means I haven't read it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I would love to read that if they have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be very interesting.
Yes, that would be very, very interesting.
And it caught, when, you know, the animal was telling me it was a human, I mean, that caught me off guard, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had to repeat the question a couple of times.
Right.
To make sure I was hearing them correctly.
Right. Did it take you a while to actually believe that, or did you believe it after, again, establishing what the animal was telling you?
I believed it as soon as they told me. I mean, I was surprised, but because animals are very blunt and very open and honest with us, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably one of the great things about working with animals is they don't have a lot of the human emotions that get in the way. They just are very blunt, and they tell you what they're feeling and what they've experienced in the past.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to ask, they're going to tell you.
Right, and they don't sugarcoat anything, right?
No. Mm-hmm. It's not funny, but it is funny. I'll get caught up in giving a reading, and sometimes animals have a potty mouth.
Oh, really?
If the clients have a potty mouth, they understand why the animal does too.
Right. Right. Well, there again, it's just like being raised in any household. I mean,
exactly.
The children are going to talk like their parents do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So when you're talking to animals, I mean, has it been a situation where they've actually maybe you couldn't understand them because they're speaking in foreign languages or anything like that?
You know, I haven't had that. They always, you know, have spoken to me in that I could understand it, or I couldn't relay the message.
Right.
You know, if it was a language I didn't speak.
Right. So that's never been a problem.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're working with, I guess, clients and their pets, do the clients, do they say that maybe that they don't really believe what you're telling them, that maybe Fido or whoever is not really feeling that way? Has there ever been a problem in that respect?
Very rarely. You know, you always have the skeptical people.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually ends up that they'll be calling me down the road saying, hey, guess what, you know.
Yeah, you were right, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right. Now, you say you do a lot of reading about this. Do you study the subject quite a bit? I mean, communicating with pets, that is, or animals?
I haven't taken any classes or anything. Mm-hmm. It just came naturally to me.
Right. Right. But, I mean, you like to research different cases that you've heard about, right?
I don't, because even when somebody calls me, I want to do what they call a cold reading. I don't want too much information up front.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be biased in any way.
Right. I want them to get the message right from their animal. I don't want to be a block or anything.
Mm-hmm. Is that hard to do sometimes? Do you go into a reading with perhaps a little bit of bias, or you just try to divorce yourself from that totally?
I have to step out of the, yeah, because I need to be a clear channel
mm-hmm.
for them.
Does it ever get to the point where sometimes you're feeling such intense emotion that it's difficult to give a reading because it's hard to convey what's going on either on the part of the client or the animal?
It has, and you know, and I'll just tell them, hey, I need a minute, you know, to get my emotions intact so I can relay the message to you, and they, you know, understand.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, like I said, since I'm an empath and I can feel, so it is overwhelming.
Right.
Or can be.
Right. So by and large, clients usually accept what you tell them. They don't question it.
Not usually, or the, you know, they might have questions of their own that they want answered,
mm-hmm.
you know, but.
Right, but they don't really doubt what you're telling them primarily.
Not usually, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, if they're seeking you out, I think they already have a basis in belief right there.
Right, and like I said, you do have those skeptical people, and you have the people that want to test you, and, you know, and
mm-hmm.
All I can do is give them what their animal is telling me, whether they want to accept it or not is, you know, up to them.
Right. So you're not very, well, I guess you're not really very, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess you're not really very taken aback when people do question. I mean, you might expect it once in a while anyway.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's just human nature.
Yeah. You know, and just, I just think with any reader, you know, they always have people like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, everybody has questions. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
Now, when you progress, you can tell over a period of time when the animal is getting better. I mean, maybe it just might be a couple of months, but then again, like we said earlier, it might be 2 years down the road when you're still working in a situation to make sure that everything comes to the proper outcome.
I mean, if they call me and say, can we do another reading, you know, because I don't always stay tuned in once mm-hmm. the reading's done, because that is their information, so it leaves me.
Right.
You know, the reading, you know, whatever was talked about leaves me because it's not mine
mm-hmm.
to carry. So,
right.
I mean, they would be calling me saying, can we do it? Can we check in on Fluffy and see if Fluffy's doing better? Or, you know, what else can we do if they're not doing better?
Right. Now, when you're just out and about, do you pick up vibrations from animals? I mean, it's something you never really turn off, correct?
I can to a certain degree if I don't, you know. But normally it's always on, and I hear them.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a point where you've received something from an animal and you'll go up to the person that they are with and say something about the animal that they're trying to communicate with you?
I did. I was at an event one time, and I've only done this one time, and it was a mistake because it wasn't, you know, they weren't asking for my help. I was intervening where I shouldn't have been intervening. So I made the mistake once.
Mm-hmm. And they got upset?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, in other words, just mind your own business. But if somebody really comes to you, obviously, that's a different situation.
Right. And if the animal was, like, in harm's way, and I'm definitely going to be sending, you know, Reiki and prayers and, you know, asking for angel guides around the animal to help them, you know, if they need to get out of that situation or something.
Mm-hmm.
I call in higher power than me. How's that?
Right. Well, that makes sense. Now, when you go to perhaps some type of shelter, do you pick up which animals really need to be out of that situation? I mean, do you ever feel a certain amount of sadness knowing that some of those animals will be put to sleep? They will never really have another owner?
Absolutely. It's very hard. And I just, when I'm in there, I just try to give them as much love as I can, you know, and mm-hmm. they know, you know.
Right.
Just do the best I can when I'm there.
Right. When you sense that a certain animal won't make it out of there, do you try to work with that animal, maybe give it a message that everything's going to be okay one way or the other? I mean, you try to
yes.
help them out in that respect?
Yes. I talk to them, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And definitely. They understand?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Right. Now, do you, I guess, subscribe to the theory that dogs and cats should be spayed and neutered so that there won't be as many animals, so that not as many animals are being put to sleep?
I do. I do promote that. I think, you know, mine are all, you know, and yes, I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
They hate to see, you know, get them get put down unnecessarily.
Right. Right. And again, these animals understand that?
They do understand that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the animals that perhaps are born deformed or something like that? They're not quite right. Do they know that something's not right?
In ones I've read, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
And they know that by being that way, they're supposed to help their owner
mm-hmm.
work through something?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it is a learning experience for the client or the person that owns that pet.
Right, or a life lesson for them, or, you know, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that pets teach us?
Definitely the unconditional love and, you know, patience and, you know, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they're always so happy, you know, normally.
Right, right. Well, I think that's one of the great things about animals is the fact that they seem to be happy because they're oblivious, I think, to a lot of things because of the fact that they're not caught up in things like, you know, the other things that human beings are caught up, like, you know, how well they're liked or, you know, how popular they are or how much money they're making, anything like that. They're pretty much just accepting of their life and they're there to live it and just experience it as is.
Exactly. Or, you know, I had, and this is really awful, but I had one client who, they were asked to foster a pet, but this dog was a puppy, and somebody literally dipped it in tar.
Wow.
Purposely. And you know, they were burned under there, but they wanted to still live, you know, and still, they just accepted what happened and, you know, wanted to go about their life. And they wanted just somebody to love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that dog did.
Right.
And it was traumatic, but they know why they're here.
Right. So even though they might be deformed due to some accident or terrible treatment,
Right. They
can overlook that. That's not a big deal to them?
Or like the abuse, not that it's not a big deal, but they have to be able to learn to trust the new owners again. You know, and that's where reading is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they feel vanity? Do they have a certain impression about the way they look, whether they're a good-looking dog or cat or anything like that?
They do. They do. Actually, I had, this was many, many years ago, there was a horse, and I might have even said this on the last time we were on, that she was very self-conscious, how she looked, and she was a beautiful horse. And what ended up, she wanted a mirror in her stall, and every day the owner and the horse, you know, the owner would tell her how beautiful she was, and she really came out of it. And she realized how beautiful she was because we did a follow-up reading.
Mm-hmm. So it was just her own perception, so she did know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about animals that are put in pageants and shows? Do they know when they're the star of the show, so to speak? Do they know when they're being groomed as something very special?
Mm-hmm, they do.
Mm-hmm. And does that improve their, I guess, appearance and also their performance at certain events?
Well, there's some, you know, there's sometimes when, and a lot of times when I've done the shows, like dog shows or cat shows, they want to know when they're going to be done showing. You know, they get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but some of them do.
Right. What about racehorses? Do racehorses know before a race, say it's a big Triple Crown event, that they're going to win a certain race or not?
I don't know if they know they're going to win. I guess it'd probably be all on the communication that, you know, the owner or the jockey or whoever was riding that horse had with that horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So that plays a large part?
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but just recently they did have the Triple Crown races. And one thing that I was watching the animals and watching the races, I was just wondering, do you know that, do they, like, trash talk, you know, to one another? Like, oh, you're nothing, I'm going to beat you, or I'm better than you, anything like that? Do they try to intimidate the other animals so that they'll perform better?
You know, the couple times that I've read the racehorses, they did not say that they did that. So they kind of, you know, they're so focused on what they need to do and what they were trained to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, is run that race. And that's really all they're thinking, you know, now thinking about, but that's what they're focused on.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do the best they can do for their, you know, for them and their owner.
Really? I mean, that's always their goal. Whenever they start a race, they want to do the best they can?
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends. Sometimes, like you said, whatever the jockey, whatever their relationship is, whether they win or lose?
I don't know if if they win or lose. I mean, I just, you know, how they, I don't know if you started your day and everything is going wrong. You know how it seems to, like a domino effect?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you had some, you know, encouraging words and lifting your spirit before that race, you're gonna perform better.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do they do animals, do they do anything to enhance their performance? I mean, do they do what would be considered enhancing drugs or anything like that? Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that. Mm-hmm. I can't answer that, so I'm not aware of that.
What about, say, a cat on catnip? Have you had that experience, and does that really make a difference in a reading?
I haven't read one on catnip. I know cats like the catnip. My cats like catnip, but I haven't read one that was, you know, during the reading on catnip. So,
uh-huh. Yeah, so it's not like they're high or drunk or anything like that, right, that you're aware of?
Not, I think, like we think. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, if we're having too much alcohol or getting high that way or something, you know, I don't.
Right. They don't really experience that.
I don't think, like I said, I haven't read, so I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say for sure because I haven't done it.
Right. Again, briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And my special guest this month is Lori, the pet psychic, and she's a very well-known pet psychic. She's known nationally and internationally. Now, when you were on the Oprah show, were you surprised that they called you and asked you to speak about the experience you had with the Chihuahua?
I was surprised, but it was that whole, you know, week after finding Tinkerbell was kind of like a whirlwind because there was a lot of media, you know, and it wasn't totally up to me. It was also up to the owners who owned, you know, Tinkerbell too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an honor to be on her show.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, now, you know, just more people know, you know, what I do, and I can help that many more animals and people. And that's my goal, is to help, you know, as many people and animals as I can.
Right. So the more avenues you have to express yourself and your message, the better it is.
Exactly. Because, mm-hmm. you know, just like I said, being of service. And thank you for letting me come on here and voicing that as well.
Well, you're welcome. We're a little small time. But, you know, again, most of my guests are very good about the fact that when they do the show that they are cognizant that there's somebody listening, and they just feel that whoever's listening at that time, they are meant to hear my guest message, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
So thank you very much for doing the show.
Oh, I appreciate, you know, but you getting the word out with me, you know, helping. It's all about helping.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, again, I'm sure it's very, very rewarding to accomplish something where you help somebody out and you can feel good about yourself on a daily basis.
I do, it's more just like when I found Tinkerbell, I was so happy that she wasn't hurt and she was okay. You know, I was just glad she was found. I didn't think of, you know, what was coming because of that.
Right.
You know?
Right. It wasn't like, oh, we found Tinkerbell, I'm going to be on Oprah.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
You know, just like with, you know, every reading to me is important and just as special as Tinkerbell was, you know. It's about helping communicate what they need to say.
Right.
Giving them a voice.
Right, exactly. That gets back to one of your big mottos, giving animals a voice.
Exactly.
Yeah, very, very important. Now, if somebody did want to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Actually, the best way to contact me is by phone. And the phone number is 734-493-3190. Or they can go on the website and they can email me. The website is www.loriethepetpsychic.com. Lori is spelled a little different. It's L-O-R-R-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
And the email address is pets, P-E-T-S, 2735. @gmail.com.
Okay. Now, have you ever thought about writing a book, perhaps, about your experiences?
You know, it's in the process. So yes. Yes, and I'm sure it's coming. I need the time to write it.
Mm-hmm. Are you having help, or are you doing it on your own?
You know, I do everything on my own. It's just me. You know, I don't have a staff or anything. It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I want to, you know, that personal touch with my clients.
Right. So have you just started writing the book, or are you halfway through, or is it hard to say?
I haven't started yet.
Oh, you haven't started? Okay.
I need to start writing the book.
Mm-hmm. You just got to set some time aside and actually start on it, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sure that should be a bit of fun for you, isn't it? I mean, to actually get some of these cases and your thoughts, your feelings about this particular thing, being a pet psychic?
Yeah, it's exciting for me, and I hope it's exciting for everybody who's going to read it. And, you know, I'd love to do a book just on Tinkerbell, you know. And
mm-hmm. Are you going to dedicate it to her?
I would dedicate it to her and her owners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're such wonderful people. It was just such a joy to help them. And, you know, that, like I said, that was the best, to me, the best part of that, you know, was just being able to help and knowing how many people were out helping as well. And it, you know, it was just, and it was in 2009, so it was everything when you know, everything was doom and gloom, and it was just nice to have a happy story out there.
Right, right. That's very, very important. In today's day and age where you're hearing a lot of negative stuff, it's nice to have a feel-good story where a living being was actually helped.
Yeah, it was a happy ending for once, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm sure you've had your share of tragic endings where, you know, pets run away and maybe you receive that they're no longer with us, that type of thing, and then they find the, you know, the body later on. Has that happened to you before?
That has. It has. And lost animals are the hardest things to do. And I don't find every animal, you know, I'll be honest with you. And I just do my best. And, you know, I tell everybody that, too. There's no guarantee I'm going to find your animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
right.
tell them that up front.
Right.
So they know. And I just can give them information I'm receiving.
Right. Well, that's all you can do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, like I said, I'm honest with people, so... And if I don't receive anything, that's exactly what I'm going to tell them.
Right. So you don't lead them on.
Exactly.
And give them false hope.
Exactly. I don't, you know, I don't usually, normally for lost pets, I would have them email me, especially if they're not in the state, you know, I'll have them email me a picture. And I see if I even get any information before, you know, there's a payment or anything exchanged, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, how does that work? Do people usually pay you up front, or do they pay you once you've completed your services?
They pay up front.
Okay.
And unless, like I said, lost animals are different, I do, you know, see what if I can get information first before we set up an appointment.
And generally, how much do you charge for a reading?
Lost pet readings are, I do believe it's $28 if you pay on the website. 15 minutes is $52. It goes up them there. Half an hour is 104.
Okay. Well, it's been very, very interesting. I really do appreciate the fact that you've been able to spend time with me, and I'm sure my listeners will appreciate it. Again, it's nice that you can actually do something to help people as well as animals. So, Lori, thank you very much for doing the show.
Thank you, and thank you for all your, you know, work you're doing with your radio show. It's really great, too. So I appreciate you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. Have a great day. Thank you,
you
for doing
too.
The show. All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, I just want to thank my special guest for appearing on Metaphysically Speaking this month, and she was Lori, the pet psychic. And I really do appreciate the fact she was able to do it. Very, very interesting. We covered some things that I really wasn't aware of as far as animals and what they can feel and what they think. But again, very, very interesting. So once again, thank you to Lori, the pet psychic.